From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. There's nothing quite like the prospect of a brand new year ahead. The calendar resets, and we have a blank slate with 52 open weeks to accomplish our goals. So today, I want to help you prepare for the most productive new year of your lifetime and see the coming days and months as a gift to carefully manage. My message is titled, Your Most Priceless Gift in the New Year, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
Our culture's ideas of truth are shifting every day, but God calls us to stand firm on the clear teaching of His Word. In his brand new book, What Every Christian Should Know, Dr. Robert Jeffress equips you to understand 10 pillars of historic Christianity, such as the Trinity, angels and demons, salvation, future events, and more. Request What Every Christian Should Know when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory.
One way I know it is the new year is I've lost my voice. Every first week of the new year, my voice goes. But I want you to know my loss is your gain this morning, because you're going to gain an extra brief sermon today. I'm going to try to hold out until the end. But don't confuse the brevity of the sermon today with the importance of the message we're going to look at from God's Word. Today, we're going to look at the 90th Psalm as we talk about your most priceless gift in the coming new year. Many people don't realize that Psalm 90 was actually written not by David, but by Moses. David lived in about 1000 BC. Moses lived at least 400 years earlier than that. So this is the oldest of all of the Psalms, but it could not be more relevant than it is for today. Moses begins talking about the brevity of life. That's a constant theme that you see flashing throughout the scriptures, the shortness of our lives. In fact, in the preceding Psalm, Psalm 89, verse 47, the writer says, "Remember what my span of life is, for what vanity you have created all the sons of men." And then Moses picks up that theme in Psalm 90, beginning with verse 1. And he does so by comparing the brevity of our life with the eternality of God. You see, time is a matter of perspective. We talk about time racing along, or time sometimes crawling by like a snail. Time is a matter of perspective. For example, have you ever noticed that 2 weeks on vacation is not the same as 2 weeks on a diet? Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes it moves quicker on vacation, doesn't it, than on the diet? Or have you ever noticed how you can have some house guests that can stay longer in 1 hour than others can in a month? It's all a matter of perspective. And it's the same way with time. The fact is, time moves at the same rate for everybody. But it's a perspective compared to what? And so Moses says, I want to show you how brief your life is compared to the eternality of God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were born. Or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God has always existed. He is eternal. That's why it's just so foolish how the atheists, the humanists, try to explain everything we see in the universe today. You know what their explanation is for everything we see in our world and the universe? They don't believe in God, so they say, nobody times nothing equals everything. Isn't that foolish? To think that something could come out of nothing? No, the psalmist says. Moses says, God has been the constant from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God is eternal. In fact, look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or is a watch in the night? 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. He is not bound to time, but we are, at least in this life. God has made each one of us a prisoner of time. In this life, we have a beginning, we have a middle, and we have an end. And to show how transitory our life is compared to the eternality of God, Moses uses two metaphors, two images. First of all, he describes our human life to dust. Look at verse 3. You turn man back into dust and say, "Return, O children of men." Our human bodies are an accumulation of particles and chemicals. We are dust. We were made from the dust of the ground, and our bodies will return to the dust of the ground. And in the same way, our lives seem like they're over before they even get started. In James 4:14, James summons the same theme when he says, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor." That Greek word atmos, you're just a mist that appears for a little while and then you're gone. Your life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Not only that, not only is life brief, but life is uncertain, Moses reminds us. Look at verse 5 about the uncertainty of life. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep in the morning. They are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew, but toward evening it fades and withers away. I like the way the Living Bible paraphrases verse 5. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river and vanish as quickly as a dream. We glide along the tides of time as swiftly as a racing river. What a great picture of life that is. You can be sailing along in your life, enjoying all the great things God has given you, when suddenly, out of nowhere, you're overwhelmed by circumstances over which you have no control. It may be an undesired divorce, an unexpected report from the doctor, an undeserved termination from your job, and suddenly you realize out of control you really are of your life's circumstances. That's what he's talking about here. Circumstances can overcome us very, very quickly. That's why James wrote in James 4, verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." Yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills and we live, we will do this or do that." But as it is, your boast and all of your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Now, don't misapply that. James isn't saying there's anything wrong with planning. Proverbs talks about the importance of planning. But remember, any plans we make are always subject to the sovereignty of God. Man proposes, God disposes sometimes of our plans. Sometimes circumstances overwhelm us and we're out of control, or we think we are, of what happens to us. You know, this is the time of the year that people are making predictions about the coming new year. Where will the stock market be in the end of the coming new year? Which political party will gain control in the November elections? Will the COVID pandemic finally be over or just replaced by a new pandemic? Everybody's making their predictions. I'm no prophet. I can't predict many things, but there is one thing I can predict with absolute certainty. Sometime during these next 12 months, something unexpected is going to happen to you. There is something that is going to happen to you that when you look back on it at the end of the next 12 months, you're going to say, "Wow, I never saw that one coming." Life is filled with uncertainties. It's like being on a racing river. So what should our response be to the fact that our life is brief? that it's filled with uncertainty. Some people make the wrong application. They adopt the hedonistic phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Since we don't know how many days we have left, since anything could happen, just grab all the gusto you can grab, as the commercial used to say. No, Moses suggests a different application of those two realities. He said, because life is brief, because it is filled with uncertainties, treat it with value. And that's how he applies these truths, beginning in verse 10, when he talks about the value of our life. Understand and act on the value of life. Look at verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Now remember, Moses wrote this 3,400 years ago. You know, over 3,400 years, the lifespan of men and women has fluctuated greatly, or so it seems. And yet I was looking just this week, you know what the lifespan of an average male in the U.S. is? 78.6 years. For women, they always outlive us. 81.1 years. But there it is, just like the psalmist said, it floats between 70 and 80 years. Sure, some people live a lot longer, some people live a lot shorter, but most people live between 70 and 80 years of life. I love the way the Living Bible paraphrases this passage. 70 years are given to us, and some may even live to 80. But even the best of these years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear, and we are gone. Who can comprehend the power of your anger, God? Which of us can fear you as he should? Now here's the application. Teach us to number our days and recognize how very few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Life, time is a priceless commodity God gives to each of us. What makes it priceless? Well, first of all, it is limited. It's things that are limited that have value, and our time is very limited. God may allot to you 70 years. He may give you 80 years. He may give you a few more, a few less. But God has a designated number of days, hours, minutes, and seconds that he has given to each one of you, and they're ticking away just like that. Your time is very limited. That's why it's valuable. And yes, nothing takes God by surprise. Both the day of our death, the day of our date, are written in his book. In Psalm 139, verse 16, David says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Did you know before you were born, God wrote the date of your birth and the day of your death in indelible ink in his book? But not only that, he wrote every day in between those two dates. Every day of your life was ordained by God before you experienced one of them. And yet those days are moving by very quickly. That's why time is valuable. It is limited. But here's the paradox. Even though it's limited, secondly, it's determinative. And by that I mean how you spend these few fleeting moments that God gives to you impacts greatly both your life now and your life eternally. Let's talk about the eternal aspect first of all. The great paradox is how we spend these few seconds, seemingly, that God gives us on earth determines the kind of eternity that we experience. You see, this life is not all that there is. Seems that way, but it's not. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, wrote in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no delight in them. Remember God before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed and the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Those are all images of the breakdown of the physical body. And what happens, verse 7? Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, but the spirit will return to God who gave it. There's more to us than this collection of chemicals and particles. We have a spirit, and that spirit is going to live eternally. And the most important decision we make in our brief, fleeting life is, how are we going to face God one day? Are we going to face His judgment, or are we going to face His forgiveness and be welcomed into heaven? For some of you right now, the most important decision you could ever make is that decision to trust in Christ as your Savior, to know your sins have been washed away and that you will one day be welcomed into God's presence. You have no guarantee that even tomorrow you'll be able to make that decision. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Those decisions we make in this life profoundly affect our eternal existence. And once we are saved, how do we spend the time that God has given us? Investing it in our kingdom, our agenda, or in God's kingdom, His agenda? 2 Corinthians 5:10 reminds us that one day as Christians, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may be rewarded for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or worthless. Listen to me this morning. Life is short, but what we do here on earth reverberates in the halls of heaven forever. That's why our life here is valuable. Yes, it's limited, but it's determinative. How we spend our time determines the kind of eternity we'll experience one day. But how we spend our time here on earth also determines the quality of life we have right now. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And to a large extent, how you spend your time right now determines what kind of existence you have right now. As you face the coming new year, how will you use the brief, the uncertain, the valuable gift of time that God has given to you? I want to close today by reading a piece that I got 20 years ago from John Maxwell. It was originally written by a ham radio operator. Some of you are too young to know about ham radio operators. These are people, they're still around, who are amateur radio people, and they sit in their basement or in their garage talking to other people on their ham radios. This ham radio operator wrote a story he called 1,000 Marbles. I think it'll make an impression on you. The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes from being the first to rise, or maybe it's just the unbounded joy of not having to go to work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling around the basement with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. I turned the dial up into the phone portion of the band of my ham radio in order to listen to a Saturday morning swap session. Along the way, I came across an older-sounding chap with a tremendous signal and a golden voice. You know the kind. He sounded like he should be in the broadcasting business, and he was telling whoever he was talking with something about 1,000 marbles. I was intrigued and stopped to listen to what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job, and I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you've been away from your home and family for so long. Hard to believe a young fella like you should have to work 50 to 60 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital. He continued, let me tell you something, Tom, something that has helped me. keep a good perspective on my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of 1,000 marbles. You see, he said, I sat down one day and I did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some live more and some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52, and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now, stick with me, Tom. I'm getting to the important part. It took me until I was age 55 to think about all of this in any detail. And by the time I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays, and I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 Saturdays left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store, and I bought every single marble they had, and I ended up having to visit 3 toy stores just to round up 1,000 marbles. I took them home, put them inside a large, clear plastic container right here in the shack next to my gear, and every Saturday since then, I've taken one marble out and I've thrown it away. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focus more on what's really important in my life. There's really nothing like watching your time here on earth run out to help you keep your priorities straight. Now, let me tell you one last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out to breakfast. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it until next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. It was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family, and I hope to meet you again somewhere on this band. Well, you could have heard a pin drop on the band when this fella signed off. I guess he gave us all a lot to think about. I'd planned to work on the antenna that morning, and then I was going to meet up with a few ham operators to work on the next club newsletter. Instead, I went upstairs and woke my wife up with a kiss. Come on, honey. I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast. What brought this on? She said with a smile. Oh, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids. And hey, can we stop at a toy store while we're out? I need to buy some marbles. Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us spend them as we should. That's a great resolve for the coming New Year. There's no way of knowing how many marbles we have left in the jar. And for that reason, we need to make every single one count. Now, in closing today, I want to thank you for investing in this nonprofit ministry. There's nothing quite like the feeling of beginning a brand new year and imagining all the tremendous things that God has in store. And I'm confident that in the next 12 months, God will use Pathway to Victory to reach more people and change more lives than ever before. Every day through radio, television, and the internet, God is using our partnership to push back the forces of darkness in our world and to shine a light of hope on people who desperately need it. So thank you so much for giving generously to Pathway to Victory. Now, stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment with more Pathway to Victory.
Tragically, far too many churches no longer teach the foundational truths of the Bible. And as a result, many Christians are being confused and misled by false teaching. In his brand new book, What Every Christian Should Know, Dr. Robert Jeffress equips you to understand 10 pillars of historic Christianity to help you grow a firm and unshakable faith and share your faith with others.
Our world is constantly shifting and growing increasingly hostile to Christianity, but these unchanging truths will help you build your faith and stand strong against false teaching.
In 10 chapters and nearly 300 pages, you'll discover what every Christian should know about the Bible, the Holy Spirit, salvation, the end times, and more. Request your copy of What Every Christian Should Know when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when you give $75 or more, we'll not only send you the brand new book, but also the companion study guide and the complete series on DVD and CD.
The best investment of our life is to study the Word of God and to apply God's timeless wisdom to our lives today. That's what every Christian should know.
Thank you for helping Pathway to Victory proclaim these fundamental truths when so many churches don't, and for requesting these resources to help you and your loved ones know the truth of God's Word and stand firmly upon it in a shifting world.
Maybe today's message from Moses has reminded you of some changes you want to make in your priorities in the coming year. I pray you have the resolve and determination to take those first steps today. Now, stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory. The one thing in life is your purpose. Finding your purpose. But you and I are parts of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 says, some of us are hands, some of us are feet. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Finding Your One Thing in Life, here on Pathway to Victory. April 25th through May 5th, 2023, you're invited to join Dr. Robert Jeffress on the Pathway to Victory Bible Prophecy Tour of Israel.
You've read about places like the Mount of Olives, where Jesus will return one day, walk the streets of Jerusalem, where Christ made and fulfilled countless prophecies. There's nothing quite like standing on top of Mount Carmel, where Elijah did battle with the prophets of Baal, or looking out over the plain of Megiddo, where the final world battle will take place. I guarantee a trip to the Holy Land will make the Bible come alive for you like never before.
Plus, we're excited to announce that best-selling author Joel Rosenberg will join us to deliver a special message. There are no restrictions or requirements for travel to Israel, so join us April 25th through May 5th, 2023. To learn more and to reserve your spot, go to ptv.org or call 888-280-6747.